We are continuing in Hilchot Deot in Perek Dalet Halacha Tezvav, chapter 4, Halacha number 15. Okay. The last Halacha spoke about sort of the importance of exercise, and now I can get a little more into it. Basically, what the Rambam is doing here is laying out healthy living, because at the end of the day, balanced ethics go hand in hand with balanced living, right? If you don't have a balance in how you conduct your life on every level, then you will end up not having a balance in how you conduct your life on any level. Levi, with us here? In or out? Okay? No problem. So, Halacha Tetvav. V'chol mi shehu yoshev levetach ve'ino mitamel. Anybody who kind of, you know, he's comfortable, he likes, he sits, he's relaxed, he doesn't do exercise. Or somebody who, like what I said the other day, that if you have to go to the bathroom and you push it off, right? Omisha me'av kashin. Okay, somebody whose stool is hard. Afilu achal machalot tovim v'shamar atzmo al pirufua. Even if he does everything right, he eats healthy food and he does the things he's supposed to do. He sleeps well, etc. Kol yamav yu machovim v'kochot hashesh. He will live a life of unhealthiness. He'll have pains. He'll have illnesses. All of this. And his strength will be weaker, right? You look at people who seem to have a lot of energy. They seem to have a lot of strength, okay? And then you see people, they just seem like they never have strength. Says the Rambam, this is one of the yesodot for that. One of the central pieces to that is this, okay? V'achila gasa leguf kol adam kemo sama mavet. The person who eats overabundantly, if you're not hungry and you stuff your face, if you eat too much, if you constantly, consistently get up from the table, and you can't move, right? That's like sama mavet. That's like poison for your system that will make you unhealthy. It will bring you illness. It will bring you disease. Okay? Speaking of which, thank you. V'rov ha'chalaim she'baim al ha'adam einam ela o mipnei ma'chalim ra'im. Right? Most of the illnesses that a person experiences come either because they eat bad foods, or because he stuffs himself and eats overabundantly, right? You understand what achila gasa is? Right? It's like stuff your face eating, right? Even if you eat really healthy foods, you have granola and a little bit of olive oil and, I don't know, omegas, all the things you're supposed to have, right? But you just eat too much of them, unhealthy. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, Shomer pivu l'shono, shomer mitzarot nafsho. If you guard your mouth and your tongue, if you guard, and this of course is a double entendre, it's on two levels. One obviously is what you say. You see people who don't know how to control what they say. We're going to get to that in another halachas, right? But here he's talking about what you eat, right? Shomer mitzarot nafsho. He guards himself from sort of travail in his soul, from the difficulties that come. If you guard your mouth from eating bad foods or eating too full, and your tongue from speaking except for its needs, right? Just like we said, you know, this is, by the way, the first allusion in the Rambam to Lashon Hara, right? To be careful sort of what you say. Okay, halacha tetzayin. This is a little bit of a strange halacha because this is based on the times that the Rambam lived in. It's interesting how you translate this today, but we'll go through it. Okay? A person should wash at least every 7 days. Right? And you shouldn't bathe. You have to understand that in those days, they didn't have a shower in the house. They had a bathhouse. And the bathhouse was a place with three rooms, right? They actually have this on Masada, okay? If you remember, we went through it. There's an external room, which is a hot room. There's a poshrin. You go in, and first there's like warm water, then there's hotter water, then there's cooler water, right? You go through different stages of bathing. And first you would sweat, because you know what sweating is? Sweating is basically one of the ways that the body expunges poisons in the system, right? If a person can't sweat, if you would cover a person with sort of plastic along their whole body, so that they couldn't sweat, to be very, very unhealthy, the person would get very ill. Because that's how you get rid of a lot of toxins in your body. So you're supposed to do that sweating, as you'll see, right? And because they didn't have a bath in the house, right? And because it was a lot of work to bathe, like you had to draw the water from the well, and so they would do it like once every 7 days, right? And there were people that you paid to make sure that there was water in the bath and to heat the baths if they came out of a wellspring or whatever it was. And so it cost money. So people didn't do this every day. So you would go once every 7 days, right? In fact, there's a Gemara that says that in the cities, they would go once every 7 days, but in the smaller villages, whatever, people would go once every 2 weeks, right? Today, we're considered what's called an istinis. There are all sorts of halachot. Like, for example, as an example, during the 9 days from the new moon, from Rosh Chodesh Av, until Tisha B'Av, all sorts of minhagei avilut, all sorts of customs of mourning, right? One of them is that you don't bathe. You don't bathe for 9 days. The halacha says if a person is an istinis, if a person is very delicate and they're used to bathing every day, so then it becomes so uncomfortable and so much travail for them that they can't study properly, they can't concentrate properly. A person like that is allowed to bathe every day, but they shouldn't bathe. Either they shouldn't bathe, they should only bathe in freezing water, or bathe in water that's at least much colder than you used to, or at least if somebody, for whatever reason, really can't manage without a hot shower, you should do it in such a way that you only run in, you know, use the shower for the minimum amount that you just have to get yourself clean, don't stand under the hot water when you're soaping, whatever it might be, so that you don't, like, you sort of reduce your pleasure. So on these halachot, there are many poskim who say that today everybody's an istinis. And therefore, a person's allowed today, according to some poskim, to bathe every day in cold water simply because, like that's my minhag, simply because we're so used to showering every day that not going a day or two or three without showering would be very difficult, right? But this is how they used to do it. What's interesting, though, is to pay attention to when you bathe. V'lo yikanes samuch la'achila, v'lo kashu ra'ev. You don't bathe or you know, sort of do the baths, the what do they call the shvitz, when you're hungry. And you don't do it right after you eat. You have to wait until the food that you've eaten has already started digesting. You should wash your whole body in hot water. That isn't boiling hot. You shouldn't put on your body, you shouldn't have water that's so hot that it burns you. But your head you can wash with really boiling hot water. After you've done really hot water, then you should do sort of warmer water, then lukewarm water, until you wash in cold water, right? You gradually bring your body sort of back down from its temperature. And you shouldn't put that colder water on your head. Right? Not lukewarm and not cold water. This is a system that the Rambam had. By the way, and you shouldn't wash in cold water in the winter. By the way, you can try this in the summertime when it's hot out and do like really hot water and then make it lukewarm and then really lukewarm and then cold, and you'll feel the difference when you come out of the shower. It's a very different feeling to do that, to gradually. I'm not talking that for now about sort of how you know take into account the fact that we don't have enough water in this country. It's another issue. Maybe wait till you get back to Florida. And a person shouldn't do this once a week, sort of Turkish type of bathing, until he's sweated, for the reasons I said before, and until his body's been massaged, like, you know, that's a whole other discussion. He shouldn't be too long in the bathhouse. They say, by the way, a person's not supposed to sit in a schwitz for more than 15 minutes. It's not healthy for the body to be in those kinds of temperatures or to be in that kind of hot, heated air, right? And you check yourself before and after you go into the bathhouse. Like, let's have to go to the bathroom. This is more less about your health and more about sort of the fact that you shouldn't need to go to the bathroom when you're sitting in the bathhouse, right? This, by the way, a person should do also before they go swimming, for obvious reasons. You should always check if you have to go to the bathroom before you. Like, sometimes you have to go to the bathroom a little bit, but you don't really pay attention to it. Then you're sitting down and you're eating and you realize you have to go to the bathroom, but you're too lazy to get up and go to the bathroom. So you finish eating even though you have to go to the bathroom. That's not healthy. It's not healthy, first of all, because we mentioned that you're not supposed to hold that stuff inside. And second of all, digesting in one end while your body has to release from the other end is not healthy. It causes problems. V'kodim bila v'char bila, after a person, before a person has relations. V'kodim shi'gavi itamel v'char shi'gavi itamel. And before and after you exercise, also you should check if you have to go to the bathroom. V'kodim shi'ishan v'char shi'ishan. Obviously, before you go to sleep, this is another mistake people make. You know, sometimes you kind of have to go to the bathroom, but you're tired, you figure you go in the morning. Very, very unhealthy to go to sleep if you have to go to the bathroom. You should always try to release whatever you have in your body before you go to the bath, before you go to bed. U'bashira kol asara. He counts 10 times that a person should be checking to make sure they don't have to go to the bathroom during the day. Okay? K'sheyetzei adam min ha-merchatz, when a person goes out of the bathhouse, yilbash b'gadav v'yechaser osho b'bet ha-chitzon, k'dei shelo tishlot b'ruach kara. You're not supposed to go outside with wet hair. I don't know if you guys do this at all, but you should know it's very unhealthy. V'afilu b'imot ha-chamat shech lezer. You have to be careful even in the summertime. Like if you run out of the shower and you have to get here on time, and you're forgetting about what it does to your tefillin to put on wet hair, and you run here, and your head is cold, your hair is wet, very unhealthy. So at the very least, you should cover up your head while you're walking outside. Right? And after you've showered, never mind after you've exercised, you should wait a little before you sit down to eat. Your body is still sort of coming down from the exercise, or in this case from the shower, the body temperature change, and you have to let your body temperature sort of settle before you sit and eat. It's very good to sleep a little. I don't know if you know this, but if you go to like a spa, right? So before I got married, so my father wanted to do something with us, you know, like special before we got married. So each one of us, when we got married, you know, all four of us, my two brothers and I and my father, went to some spa. We spent the day, you know, kind of bonding, whatever. And they have a thing there that you go into the schwitz. And when you're finished, whatever it is, the sauna or the steam bath or whatever it is, they have this like room that you lie in a deck chair and they wrap you up in towels. And it's like a little bit of a cooler room. And the whole point of it is to go to sleep. And that's what you do. You lie in this chair. It's the most incredibly relaxing schluff. And you just fall asleep. And that's really what the Rambam's talking about. To kind of relax your body, yeah?
He also said earlier in the parak that you're not supposed to sleep during the day.
He right.
Naps,
well, that's what he's saying here. Look, he says ma'at, right? V'im yashen ma'at. In other words, that's not a person getting into bed and going to bed and sleeping during the day. That's a person who, like, once a week when you come out of the baths and you're cleansing yourself, so one of the ways to do that is to take a short nap because it allows the body to sort of come down. It cools the body down. I think what's going on here is that there's a temperature differential. That when the body's temperature is changing, it's the reason the body's temperature is changing is because of one of two things. If it's heating up, it's because it's burning calories, it's exercising. And if it's cooling down, right, it's the opposite. And it's not good to be doing other physical activities when the body is mitametz to do that, when the body is stressing itself to do that. I think that's what's going on here. V'lo yishteh mayim karim b'tzeito min ha-merchatz, v'en tzurich lomar sh'lo yishteh b'merchatz. You shouldn't drink cold water right when you get out of the bathhouse, because your body is heated up inside, and you put cold water into your body, which is warm, it's a nigud. It's like if you ever put like hot water into a glass, and it's too hot, and it breaks the glass, right? You can do that. So it's the same thing with your body. It's not healthy for your body to take cold water if the body's warm, right? Right? But if a person is thirsty when he comes out of the schwitz, so he can't prevent himself, then you should mix the water with wine or with honey. And if you rub yourself with bath oils after, you know, in the winter, after you wash yourself off, that's good. Okay, I can't really comment on that. It's not way up there on my habit list, but okay. Okay, now the Rambam has a quick halacha. I'll just give you the synopsis, because chaval on your time. But basically, they used to have something called bloodletting. And the way bloodletting worked was that they believed that if a person let out a certain amount of blood on certain occasions, that it would cause the blood in the body to change, and that would somehow be, you know, would get like the sick blood out of your body, and it would be healthy. What's interesting is that they've discovered that people who give blood, I think the American Red Cross commissioned a study. People who give blood, right, 1 to 2 times a year are significantly and statistically healthier than people who don't. Now, what they don't know is if that's the reason is because the type of person who gives blood is a healthy person, because otherwise he wouldn't give blood. I don't know if that's true. But they say that when you give blood, that you can give up to a certain amount. I think it's up to 3 pints. And that after you give blood, you're not supposed to give blood again for 3 to 4 months, depending on the person and the weight. And there's certain things that you're not supposed to do after you give blood, right? You know, I don't know. Has anybody here ever given blood? You ever given blood, right? Really, the rest of you have never given blood?
No.
Wow. What do you mean not old enough? Oh, really? You have to be 18 to do it?
You don't need parental permission if you're 18 or over.
Oh, I see. Okay, so once you're 18, I think it's a big mitzvah to do before you leave the country to give blood. They have blood drives all the time, you know. They won't take it from English people? That's interesting. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Really? Okay. That's, you're going to owe me an answer on that one. Pardon? Why? They're afraid of like mad cow disease or something? Something like that. Okay. That's interesting. I know that. So what they do is when you take blood, I once gave blood, and like a long time ago, and I wasn't thinking. And they, you know, they lie you on the table and they take the blood and they say you're done, and they say just rest a bit, right? But I didn't hear them, and I had to go somewhere. So I waited like a minute and I got up and I started walking out, and I hadn't laid down, and I got to the front doors and all of a sudden I got really woozy, and I keeled over, mamish keeled over, and somebody came running. And they put me back on the gurney for 15 minutes. And the nurse started yelling at me. She said, you're not supposed to get up. You're not supposed to walk for 15 minutes after you give blood. Because the body has to do whatever the body has to do. And they say that the body, it takes 3 months for the blood to regenerate itself. And they actually say it's very healthy to do that. So it could be, I haven't had a chance to look this up, that the modern day equivalent of this would be donating blood, right? But he has a whole halacha here about, you know, when you bloodlet, when you don't bloodlet, you're not supposed to do it when you, you know, not when it's too hot, not when it's too cold. You're not supposed to do it all after the age of 50. You're not supposed to do it right before you bathe. You're not supposed to do it before you go on a journey. You're not supposed to do it when you come back from a journey, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, Yud Tet, yeah.
In the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei, right?
In other words, during weather changes. Tishrei and Nisan are the months of weather changes.
And it's a good time to give blood.
Then. No, it's not a good time to give blood. Because you're in transition. Or maybe it's, one second, maybe it's the opposite. It is a good time. Okay, you know, it's because it's not too cold and it's not too hot. Okay? Not a big maven on bloodletting, but okay. Okay, Yutet. Shichvat Zera, which is the semen, right, in a person, in a man. Shichvat Zera, hi koach haguf v'chayav umor ha'inayim. Okay, this is the energy of the body and a person's life, right? And the light in your eyes. If a person has more seminal emissions, haguf kale, you die younger, your body begins to deteriorate. Vikocho kale, and you lose strength. Vechayav ovdim, and you lose lifespan. You die younger. Hu she'amar Shlomo b'chachmato, al titein lanashim chaylecha. Don't give the women your strength. Kol ha'shatuf b'vila. To be shatuf b'vila is not the same as what the Gemara describes as shatuf b'znut. A person who's shatuf biznut is a person who, you know, lo aleinu, a person who's doing one-night stands and doing all sorts of crazy, sick things sexually. A person who's shatuf bibila is a person who could be married. And la lacha, you're allowed to have relations 2 weeks out of the month, whatever it is, when a woman's not in nida. And he's just doing it 5 times a day. Right? That's called shatuf bibila. And if the Rambam is saying that everything is healthy in moderation, then here too, if a person is doing too much of anything, it's not healthy. The question is, what is the result of doing too much of that? Right? You with me here? You're fighting it, right? What's the result of doing too much of that, right? So the Rambam says, kol ha'shatuf b'bila, somebody who is over, sort of relationed, right? Zikna kofetz talav, he becomes old quicker. V'kochot tashesh, and he loses his strength. Ve'einav kehot, he loses his eyesight. V'reach ram nodef mipivu mishechio, and he has odor coming from his mouth and from his armpits. Usa'ar rosho, let me just finish the halacha. Usa'ar rosho v'gabot einav v'risei einav nashrot, and he loses hair, right? And it goes, I don't know, bald or eyebrows, whatever. Usa'ar skanov v'shechio v'sar aglav raveh, and he gets a lot, sort of more hair on his beard and in his armpits and on his legs. Shinav no float, his teeth fall out. V'arbe kevim chutz me'elu ba'im elav, and he has other pains that come to him. Okay? The bottom line of this, without getting into specifics, I don't know how one would measure this, is what the Rambam is saying is that there is energy. By the way, what's interesting in this halacha is the Rambam here speaking purely from the scientific medical perspective? Or is he also mixing in Kabbalah? Because there's a lot of Kabbalah in terms of what happens when a person has too much shichvat zera levatala, when a person sort of spills their seed in vain too much, whatever it might be. And a person who has a problem with this, who does it too often, can easily do an experiment. You can easily try to go X amount of time longer than a person normally, whatever. I'm not talking about the halacha now, obviously, right? And this is true for a married person also. If you find if a person finds that he's doing this too often, whether in halacha or out of halacha, try to go a certain amount of time without it and watch what happens to your strength level, to your energy level.
Well, you see it before that.
Pardon? your teeth go out. No, but it gradually, it absolutely radically changes your energy level, gives you the ability to focus more, all sorts of different things, yeah? No, 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 definitely not. Nowhere in there. Pardon? No, he's not talking about that. They didn't really have that much in those days. They weren't talking about that. He was just talking about the fact that it leads to an unhealthy balance in the body. Amru chachmei arafim, the wise men of the doctors. This is not Jews, right? Echad me'elef mit b'shar cholayim, 1 in 1,000 dies of other diseases. And the other 999, they die from too much relations, right? He lived in a world, by the way, that was seeped. I mean, that, you know, we don't think of it that way, but was seeped in these types of unhealthy relations. Therefore, a person has to be careful with this. If a person wants to live well, right? So this halacha will be good for you to remember where it is when you get married one day. But no, a person doesn't do this unless they're in a healthy space. You don't have relations when you're sick or when you're tired. And then you'll be focused on other things, right? Etc., etc. Talks about sort of physical aspects to the fact that how a person who's married knows that he needs to have relations more often, less often. We don't need to study this right now. Okay. If a person wants to read through this halacha, you can ask me about it afterwards. Okay. Halacha chaf. Kol ha-manhig atzmo bedrachim elo shehoreinu. Okay, now this is important. Okay. Whoever carries himself in these things that I've mentioned. Ani arev lo. You don't find this in the Rambam. I personally guarantee him. She'eino ba lidei choli kol yamav. He will not be sick. Until he's very old and dies. He'll never need a doctor. They say of the Rambam that he never got sick. He was never, ever ill. It's an unbelievable thing to say about. They wouldn't even say that about me. Right? And his body will be whole and he'll be healthy. Unless sometimes a person is born genetically with illnesses. Or if something that we described here is very unhealthy, you know, eating to excess or whatever, sleeping 1 hour a night or whatever it is, he's been doing since he was born. Or if there's a plague or a drought, because drought causes illnesses in other ways, right? So if you want a recipe, it's a very simple thing. Look how small this is. It's a very simple recipe. If you want a recipe for how to live a healthy life, go through this, and you will practice moderation, you'll live a healthier life. Right? I know people who just always seem to have energy. And when you look into why they always have energy, they eat a healthy diet, they exercise enough, and they get enough sleep. Not so complicated, right? They don't do the things that lead to excess. Okay? V'chol ha-minagot ha-tovim ha-ilu she'amarnu, and all these good practices that we mentioned, ein ra'ui lin'og bayin ela ha-bari. You're only supposed to do this if you're healthy. Now, some of the things that we talked about, like for example, like I didn't exercise this morning because I'm like fighting a bug. You don't exercise when you're sick. When your immune system is down and your body is sort of struggling to beat something, you don't want to take energy away from your body to exercise, right? But there is a point when you are at the tail end of it where you can exercise and you actually give your body strength to finish off the disease. And you have to have the wisdom to know the difference, right? The eating that we're talking about, you know, how a person eats and doesn't eat. A person's sick, sometimes their diet changes. So we're talking here about when you're healthy, how you live healthy. But a person who's sick, or part of your body is sick, like you could have an infection in some part of your body. Or a person who had a bad custom many years. So that person has a recipe that's different according to his illness, right? You'll see, and he has a sefer. The Rambam writes a sefer, medical book called Sefer Ravot, and he sometimes has somewhat different pieces of advice there. Okay. We don't have to talk about that. That's when the person gets buried. Vamos. Boker tov. Right? Okay, we're going to finish Perek Dalet today. Kol makom she'ein bo rofe, any place that does not have a doctor, echad abari ve'echad acholeh, ein ra'uy lo lazuz mikol drachim elosh ne'emru v'perek zeh. If you don't have a doctor, if you don't have someone to consult, right, then it doesn't matter whether you're healthy or sick, stick with this system. Even though if you're sick, it's more difficult to stick with this system, right? And it can cause short-term problems. In the long run, if a person sticks with this system, I don't know, you're out in a log cabin, you got a job drilling oil in Alaska, and there's just nobody available who can give you medical advice, stick with this system, you'll be okay. That's basically what he's saying, right? Because in the end, this system, if you practice this type of balance, there's a whole list of things here, right? About making sure that you go to the bathroom when you need to, about making sure that you wash and bathe, whatever, regularly, about sleeping 8 hours a night, about sort of how to eat and balance your eating, I eat too much and I eat too little. All this stuff together will keep you healthy. And one last halacha. There are 10 things, you know, when you go to a neighborhood, and you're thinking about living there. But what do you do, right? So most people, they look at real estate value. How close is it to my work? The Rambam says there are 10 things that you have to have wherever you live. And by the way, for most of you, this is true in terms of going to college. Now, you're going to go to university. Does the university have these 10 things? Let's say you got into this amazing program in Nome, Alaska. Okay? And they were going to give you a free ride and a free laptop and $10,000 a year living expenses. And your parents say, listen, you know, you got to do this because it's going to save us $250,000, right? So the Rambam would say, well, take a look. You know, what if there's no hospital nearby? What if there's no doctor nearby? What if there's no minion nearby? What if, right? So the Rambam says, here's the list of what a person should look for at a minimum before you live somewhere. Kol ir she'ein ba'asarat dvarim ha'elu, any city that doesn't have these 10 things, ein talmid chacham rashai ladur betocha. A Torah scholar, a person who's a Ben Torah, should not live there. Talmud Chacham. Ve'elohen, and these are them. A doctor, Rofe. Ve'uman, right? So Uman is a bloodletter. Okay? Some would translate this to mean a medical center. Okay? U'beit ha'merchatz, and a bathhouse. So we don't have that issue now because we have showers, right? U'beit ha'kisei, and a place where a person can properly go to the bathroom as opposed to living in the wild. We don't have that either anymore. Umayim mitzuyin, that there should be water. For the most part, we don't have that either, because wherever you are, there's running water. Kigod nahar umayan. Ubeit ha-kneset, there has to be a shul. Umilamed tinokot, there has to be a person to teach children, right? I guess that's talking about if you're moving with your family. Velavlar, a lavlar is a sofer, a person who can sell you tefillin, zot, etc. Okay? Vigabay tztaka, right? And a parnat tztaka, a person, you know, a way to do, to give tztaka. Ubeidin makim v'chovshim, and a penal system, a court and a punishment system and a place to lock up criminals, right? Those are the minimum that a person needs to know that he lives in a safe area. So most of these things we don't have to worry about. You go to university today, you know. But if you move somewhere, I don't know, you go to some island and you're living with the natives and you're all excited, but there's no system of law. Right? There's just, it's chaos there. The Rambam says, no, it's a problem to live there. It's a problem to live in a place where there isn't a system of justice, even if you think you're doing good things. So that's more or less, this is the conclusion of Perek Dalet. And Bezrat Hashem, on Thursday, tomorrow you have a chesed day in the morning, I believe. So on Thursday, Bezrat Hashem, we will start Perek A. Any questions? Cool? Okay. We should all get serious about healthier living. 12:30, I want to hop everybody. 12:30. Okay.
What's that book you wrote about healthy?
Pardon?